Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
It's Friday in northern Afghanistan. Prayers are over, and in a field on the outskirts of town, a thick cloud of dust churns and rises from the earth. At the center, dozens, maybe 100 horses, massed together in what looks like a stampede. The horses ram and rear up. The men on their backs swing to the ground, risking a kick to the face. Everyone from local farmers to regional warlords are there to watch. This is Buzkashi.
I think the best way to describe Buzkashi is kind of a war on a different plane. It's the national sport of Afghanistan. The word Buzkashi means goat grabbing, but that really doesn't do it justice. For one, they usually don't play with goats anymore, so they'll play with calves. And the calves are beheaded, the hooves are taken off, they're disemboweled and then stitched up. So this is basically the game ball. And these can weigh upwards of 100 pounds in a big match.
Now, only the most masterful, maybe reckless riders ever get close to that carcass.
You'll have a field full of horsemen, and the objective is to get the calf off the ground. So these guys are reaching down in the scrum of possibly hundreds of horsemen. You have to round the flag at the far end of the field and then charge back through the scrum and drop it in the scoring circle. And that's how you win a round. And if you win a round, there are prizes, sometimes hundreds, thousands of dollars, sometimes an SUV if there's a big warlord sponsoring the match.
That's Jason Motlog. He's a former correspondent who recently traveled back to Afghanistan to cover Buzkashi for Outside Magazine. Jason says that when all the dust clears, Buzkashi opens up a window into the politics and the culture of Afghanistan.
The Buzkashi match is a free-for-all. If you arrive a little late and the match is underway, you're going to see a giant dust cloud. You'll see these horsemen sort of collapsing into each other, being kicked back, horses up on their back heels. It's really rough and tumble. You know, some of the riders might be hitting each other's horses to create chaos. So really anything goes kind of atmosphere. You know, you're going to have crowds, usually pretty poor people who come after prayers on a Friday afternoon to watch, but also the VIPs. A lot of these might be politicians. They might be local warlords. They bring their gunmen. So there are a lot of weapons around too. So it's a very charged, high-stakes atmosphere.
So Jason, Buzkashi is an old game, but you've written that it's had kind of a renaissance since the latest round of warfare in Afghanistan, since 2001. Why is that the case?
It has, yeah. I mean, it's sort of disputed the origin. Some think it goes back to the time of Genghis Khan and the Mongol hordes, and that they used Buzkashi as a training exercise to grab things from the ground without breaking stride for, you know, as practice for raiding and pillaging. You know, the sport is endured in Afghanistan and throughout Central Asia for centuries. After the Taliban was ousted in 2001, Buzkashi bounced back. A lot of the horses that were used in Buzkashi were killed deliberately during the war or used to run weapons. And so the horse stocks were decimated. The sport barely held on. After 2001, you had all this money coming in, all these reconstruction dollars. And that allowed some of the major warlords who are leading Buzkashi patrons to really reinvest in the sport and kind of raise the stakes. So Buzkashi has bounced back in a big way since then.
So warlords, especially in northern Afghanistan, played a critical role during many, many years of the United States war there. You're saying they play a critical role in the resurgence of Buzkashi as well. What do they do?
Very much so. The warlords have been really instrumental in rebuilding the sport. You know, Afghan horse stocks were decimated after all these years of war. So, you know, they've got the money, the means to bring some of the best horses from other Central Asian countries and pay these riders, support them really as full-time chaplains, competitors during the season. They give them room, board, whatever they need to make sure that they're successful. You know, kind of like an NFL owner would. And these teams, these riders are sources of a lot of prestige for these warlords and players in the community. It's their sort of way of giving back and, you know, providing an entertainment, some diversion from the hardships of day-to-day life, from the war, that people can enjoy. So really is a stage for them.
Well, I mean, you always hear that sort of cliche about sports, right? That it's warfare without the blood, you know? That's what football and boxing and wrestling are for.
Yeah, except here you actually have some of the blood too, right? I mean, odds are if you sit through a Buzkashi match, someone is going to get a horse kicked to the eye or thrown from their horse. So injuries, broken bones, those things are really common.
So Jason, off the Buzkashi field, and I don't even know if it's called a field, I'll call it the field. You've talked about how this game is sort of a metaphor for Afghan society, particularly since the war. Is that a stretch? Do people in Afghanistan agree with that?
I don't think the average Afghan is really looking at Buzkashi that way. I think it's probably a lens that, you know, Western journalists are more inclined to apply to Buzkashi. You know, if you think of Buzkashi, it's this sort of chaotic battle for control of this calf. You know, you look at Afghanistan, it's this constant flux of actors, of warlords trying to control the center. And sometimes there are alliances that are made to do that. Sometimes there are real deceptions that are needed to steal power. And so, you know, those are a lot of the same dynamics that you see in a Buzkashi match.
I wonder, with all of the Americans who've come and gone from Afghanistan in the last 15 years, look, some of those paratroopers, some of those Rangers, there was a cowboy or two in that group. Has an American ever played?
Well, I actually got to play some Buzkashi on my last trip there. And, you know, this was for Outside Magazine, so I felt like it had to be told in the first person. I had to take a crack at it. So we're out in Shibrigan, out in the northwest in these desert plains, and I had a local head of the Buzkashi Federation, a maid, arrange a kind of impromptu Buzkashi match. And I thought it was going to be a small kind of training affair, and the next morning, a couple of cars full of spectators pulled up, and he tells me that, you know, other people were going to be coming from all over, and I had to reiterate, like, no, this is just a practice session with a gringo. But anyway, we went out to the field, and I spent about 2 hours playing with these guys, and, you know, they took it easy on me. Not an easy sport by any stretch. Just picking up the calf off the ground, trying to keep the horse stable is tough when, you know, you've got a couple guys around you, never mind a scrum of 50 or 60 talented riders. So I got to try my hand at it. I also heard that some years ago there were some Green Berets shortly after the invasion, actually, that also got to participate in the Buzkashi match. So it has been done. As it happens, a lot of the Afghans are wondering why the U.S. isn't supporting them more and raising the profile of Buzkashi. So maybe, you know, this will help in some small way toward that end.
Jason Motlog on the resurgence of the old Afghan sport of Buzkashi. Jason is founder of Blackbeard Films and a contributor to Outside Magazine. Jason, so thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you guys.